You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Jean Purcell. After decades of anti-smoking public health campaigns, cigarette smoking among teens and young adults has dropped significantly. In fact, the Centers for Disease Control announced last month that cigarette smoking among U.S. high school students was at its lowest level in 25 years. But that doesn't mean that all tobacco use among teens has slowed down.
A new report out this week finds that about one in five high school students have tried smoking tobacco from a hookah, which has caught on in recent years, and teens of higher socioeconomic status were more likely to be hookah smokers. So the question, should we be concerned?
Joining us now to discuss this is Dr. Michael Weitzman, co-author of the study and professor of pediatrics, environmental medicine, and public health at the NYU Langone School of Medicine. Dr. Weitzman, welcome to Central Time.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you so much.
Well, I want to start out with a very basic question, first of all. For people who might not know what a hookah is, what is it?
Well, it's called a water pipe. I think many people, if they saw one, would know what it is. They've been around the United States for quite some time, but they've been around the Middle East for centuries. They are large glass bowls of varying size and beauty on which tobacco is placed on top and heated by charcoal. And then the smoker sucks in through a tube that's attached to this. And the smoke comes into this bowl and then is filtered through water and then goes up into the person's mouth and lungs.
Yeah, so when I think of hookahs, I think of old movies set in the Mideast, or I think of hipster hookah bars in large urban areas. And the study, though, indicates that lots of teens are actually taking up smoking hookahs. Tell me about the numbers. What do they look like?
Well, the numbers are really quite terrifying. So it's about one in five high school students has used a hookah, and it's about one in 20 who's used one in the past month. Now, we've been profoundly successful in reducing cigarette smoking in the United States. There's been about a 35% decline just in the past 10 years. There's been a 135% increase in use of hookahs and things like e-cigarettes over the same time period. What's really most concerning is that there's this misconception that hookahs are safer than cigarettes, whereas what data exists suggests that they're as dangerous or possibly far more dangerous than smoking cigarettes.
Let's talk about that misconception first. Why is it that people might think that smoking a hookah is safer?
Well, the first thing is that anybody can go on a website and simply type in water pipe or hookah and come up with all sorts of advertisements that are aimed at adolescents and young people. And they're advertised as a safer alternative to tobacco, to cigarettes, rather. And they're described as a wonderful way to relax in a social setting with friends. And so you have targeting at youth, and we have not paid a lot of attention until the past 2 or 3 years to the emergence of these alternative tobacco products, which started with the changes in migration patterns to the United States, but have now been taken up by adolescents and young people. So it's intriguing to me that you mentioned hipster neighborhoods, because these data are the first data to show that it's wealthier and more educated kids who are more likely to be using this. So in the past, it's been poor people and immigrants and poor and people with mental health problems who have smoked cigarettes. This is likely, if it's not stopped, to be the first generation where we're going to lose 20 to 30 years of life expectancy for huge numbers of middle class and upper class people. So it's really, from a societal point of view, as well as a public health point of view, it's an epidemic deserving of profound attention.
Yeah, that's interesting because, as I say, when I think of hookahs, I think of their size and sort of the location, that aspect of them where they're not very handy. You know, you have to go somewhere. You don't really carry them around with you, although there are these things, I understand, the pen hookahs or the hookah pens right now. But it seems like that would limit it somehow. But you're telling me that it's not so, that people are going out of their way to congregate, and it's more of a social thing to do than smoking alone.
Well, you're asking a number of remarkable questions that get at the problem. So the attention to date, which is becoming very frenetic amongst the public health community, which is very terrified, is about hookah bars, all right? But all around urban settings, and I would imagine in many settings in Wisconsin as well, are emerging tobacconists that advertise that they sell hookahs and shisha. And so they're all over, for example, New York. I'm talking about hundreds of these places. So people are purchasing these, and they must be using them at home. But there's no data on that. Everybody focuses on the hookah bars, and they do tend to cluster, both in New York and the other communities that we've looked at, in communities with younger people, what we used to call counterculture. You use the term hipster. And around universities. Now, one of the things that everybody should know is that many people share a hookah. So you and I and other people, if I were with you right now, could be sharing the same hookah at the same time. So we'd be blowing into this thing and breathing in, and we'd be exchanging bacteria. In the developing world, it's been shown to be a very effective way to transmit tuberculosis. So infectious diseases are going to be transmitted, as well as profoundly dangerous levels of carcinogens, things that ultimately result in cancer. But this is a relatively new field of research. In large part, it's being propelled because the Federal Drug Administration can only regulate tobacco products, and many of the hookah bars claim that they use something called shisha, which is herbal and doesn't contain tobacco. We have finished other studies that show that that's not true, that every hookah bar we've been in New York, they use tobacco. So providing that sort of information, as well as research on the untoward effects on health, are desperately needed to help propel legislation. But the public needs to know that despite the appearance of this being a cool thing to do, there are some studies that suggest that an hour using a hookah, which is about the time of an average hookah session, may be the equivalent of 5 packs of cigarettes.
1 hour?
So it's possible. That's what some studies show. And, you know, if you go to a hookah bar, you pay for 45 minutes to an hour of doing this. So if you're going to spend the evening there, who's ever smoked 5 to 15 packs of cigarettes? So you're talking about middle class and upper class kids, because this is expensive, destroying their lungs, destroying their hearts. Now, that's speculation, because nobody has the data long term. But acutely, we've looked, and you can measure in the blood acute inflammatory responses. So your whole body is responding. It's not just your lungs and your heart, but you can measure things in the blood that white blood cells produce when they are challenged and threatened. So this is a very dangerous epidemic that's largely been invisible, but I can assure you it will not be invisible for a long time.
So, yeah, I wanted to ask, you mentioned data collection there. I imagine data collection is continuing, but you also mentioned legislation. What types of legislation, regulation, do you think people ought to be talking about that we ought to be looking at?
Well, many places in the United States have Clean Air Acts where you're not allowed to smoke cigarettes in public places, in restaurants, in bars, in parks. So that's been very effective, but the thing that's worked the best has been public education and taxation. So right now there's no taxing going on of this shisha, the tobacco that's smoked. And there's no taxing of the places that are selling these. So there's a whole array of legislation that you could do. You could stop sales to youngsters. You could stop advertising on the web or in teenage magazines, just like we did with cigarettes. There are a host of things that have proven profoundly, profoundly effective with cigarettes.
And I'm afraid that's where we're going to have to leave it, Dr. Weitzman. We're out of time. Thanks for joining us.
My honor. Thank you so much. Bye.
Dr. Michael Weitzman is a professor of pediatrics, environmental medicine, and public health at the NYU Langone School of Medicine.